I think it has, Francis, and I think that's a good thing. I feel for the acquisition workforce today. And if they're being asked to create an unnecessary vehicle, that's a waste of their time that they could be better spending with requirements or mission people or better spent managing a contract. It's also a cost to the private sector, whether you're a large or small business, versus using that bid and proposal money to be able to bid on real work, instead trying to bid on yet another stable contract just so you have a fishing license at a particular agency can be a waste of money.
Yeah, I've had any number of industry people say, I have to be on every single contract vehicle that I can possibly get on, and yet I've got to spend time and people hours and so on in order to be able to do that. And I can't imagine that there's any company out there that's willing to eat those costs. They're going to charge them back to the government in one form or another, I would think.
Absolutely. And I think that's a symptom that things are starting to go very wrong with the acquisition system. There's nobody thinking about it as an entire system. Instead, we have people thinking about it by individual agencies, and we really need to take a step back. I think the system needs an overhaul. It's helped us since the beginning of this country, and the acquisition workforce, these are always very dedicated people, committed, but I think they need help. I think it's too complex, and I think there is just too much work to do in terms of that complexity. And I'm also concerned that we're actually losing senior people who have that expertise and experience to understand both the mission they're supporting, the industries that they're dealing with, and how to navigate getting that mission need met through acquisition.
When we're in a time like we are budget-wise, Jim, and we're trying to squeeze every dollar we can out of every place that we can squeeze it, how do you do acquisition reform at the same time you keep the system that you have in place, at least even if it's not the most efficient, best thing that we have, it's all we have in order to be able to continue to get the things the government needs to keep running?
Well, bring back Steve Kelman. I think you can overhaul a system, and I think this one needs it. And I think there needs to be somebody looking at it while, you know, the system carries on day by day. Somebody's got to look at how do we go back and make sure we have the right trained people. We have simplified these rules and processes that are frankly conflicting, and they're just too hard to understand. We also have a culture that is now not only is it risk averse, in terms of the government dealing with industry, it's the worst I've seen in many, many years.
What is driving that, and are there any quick fixes? Are there any, the term is low-hanging fruit that pops to my mind. Are there things that we can do right away to try to at least help?
Well, I think in terms of that culture being risk-averse and in terms of talking with industry, that's simply a matter of will. I think that was tried through the Mythbuster memo to try and encourage government acquisition people to talk with industry. But I'll give you an example. Somebody at a government agency who said, I can't talk to you. We just issued a request for information, and which is contradictory right on its face. We just issued a request for information, but I cannot talk to you. And I think that kind of thing, I think there are people like Nick Nayak over DHS trying to change that because he knows that's bad for the government. And the ultimate goal of the acquisition system is to meet the mission needs in the most effective and efficient manner and while complying with all the policy requirements. And you can't do that in a vacuum.
Jim Williams of Dayon was commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service. We're talking about the explosion of contract vehicles and the difficulty of managing all of them from both the government and the industry side. Jim, as this explosion continues, if I'm sitting in an agency, what's the analysis process that I need to do, or should do at least, to determine whether the materials that I need, the goods or services, are already available, or whether I need to start something from scratch and do my own contract vehicle, that business case that OMB is asking for?
Well, that business case says, why do you have to create something new when there already is something? And again, I would say that's good of OMB to ask that question, because somewhere that you ought to be looking to leverage these people across government, not simply by agency. And if you can instead leverage a vehicle that's already in place, that means that your acquisition people can spend more time developing better requirements, better strategies for managing that acquisition to get to that success. That's a good good thing. And leveraging across the entire workforce is a good thing. I don't think there should be a single source only, but having way too many of them is too confusing to the acquisition workforce. Many of them who are new and inexperienced in how to even judge across these things.
And that's where I wanted to go to wrap up, Jim, is how do you cut the clutter so that as people are trained up in the 5 to 7 year window that everybody says it takes to build a really competent, really well-qualified acquisition pro, maybe we can try to reduce that window by making things, streamlining things a little bit.
Well, I think streamlining is an absolute necessity. As I said, I think look at like the Defense Business Board report recommending an overhaul and doing a zero-based review of all of these policies and regulations. I couldn't agree more. And get back to where we're trying to make that acquisition person a business judgment person and let them have the freedom to meet that mission needs according to a certain set of rules. But we have added so much process on top of this by agency, by policy, by regulation. I don't know how anybody effectively complies with it all.
Who's got to move first to do these things that you're talking about, Jim, and what do they have to do to get this process started?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to start with a champion who looks at the acquisition system as being composed of people, process, technology, culture, and how do you attack those different elements as a holistic whole. And going back, looking at the process, looking at what kind of people do you need that's based upon that set of simplified processes, what's the culture that you want to inculcate in those acquisition people. And again, there are some great people out there. I think we need to help give them the right tools and the right guidance and the right set of processes so they can do the job they want, get closer to the missions, get closer to the industry so that they better understand exactly what they're doing, just like they do in the private sector. And then we can actually streamline in terms of being able to save time, save money, and produce better quality. And that's what it's all about. And right now, I will say the system is getting more out of balance in terms of, because of the process, it taking more time. Meanwhile, things in the industry are moving so fast, the acquisition system simply cannot keep up with the timeliness of the mission needs.